16, Sri Ramani Chapter 4. Guru Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadu Bhaktaya Namo Namo Yantra Vijanta Manupita Napita Krityam Daitayana Viraha Taru Ajuhara Taiti Titanyaya Taya Taru Vodanidas Tam Sarva Purta Vidayam Mahimana Tosmi Bhaktya Vahima Aparada Lakshay Chiptasya Kamadi Tarangamadi Kripamaitam Sharanam Prapadyam Vinde Namaste Charanaravindam Tavaivasmi Najivani Kandina Iti Vigyaya Radhe Tamnayaman Charanantike.
We start off from our unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev Nichalila Pravishta Aum Vishnupad Astotra Satishri Shrimad Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. On the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev Aum Vishnupad Astotra Satishri Shrimad Shri Bhaktivedanta Narayan Swami Maharaj. To all of us disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So Hare Krishna everybody. Today we're beginning our fourth day, which is the fourth chapter of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's divine work and final work, Sri Jaiva Dharma. First we will review yesterday's chapter and then begin today's. We'll also review the verses that we were all learning for homework. So the chapter begins with Vaishnava Das. Now he's advanced so much. He's now experiencing Ruchi and going into Bhava Bhakti. In fact, now he's reached Bhava Bhakti by the mercy of his Gurudev, Sri Prem Das Paramahansa Babaji Maharaj. So, in the beginning of the chapter, he experiences a divine manifestation of Sri Mayapur Dham, where the temples are all made of jewels, everything is luminous. The river Ganges is also very brilliant. And he sees all the demigods dancing in ecstasy in Sankirtan. After this, he's experiencing the humility of the pure Vaishnavas. And this comes into our... I needed the attention of the devotees who are also here in this room. Otherwise it's too distracting for me. So now our verse. Trinadapi sunichena Tirodapi sahishnana Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings for how to chant the holy name. constantly and be able to concentrate on the subject matter for reaching the perfection of Harinam. That is, one should consider himself more insignificant than a blade of grass. He should be more tolerant than a tree, free from all desire for personal prestige and offering all respect to others. In this state of mind only, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. I'll just briefly give an example that Srila Gurudev gave of more humble than, more tolerant than a tree. There was a king, and the king was with his ministers sitting underneath a mango tree, and some boys wanted to get the fruits of the mango tree, so they were throwing rocks at the tree, and the mangoes were falling down. Accidentally, one rock hit the eye of the king, and the king became blind in one eye. So the ministers of the king said, "O king, let us immediately kill these boys, or at least torture them severely for what they did to you." So the king said, "Why? Here I am sitting under this mango tree, and the boys are throwing rocks in the tree, and how are the tree responding? By giving sweet mangoes. So am I less than the tree? No, I'm a king. So you should give them a portion of my kingdom." So this is an example that should have been given. I'm sorry for the static. There seems to be something wrong with my mic. We'll try to fix it later in the day. Then, after that, he was determined to have no interest in anything else than serving the Vaishnavas. So he got rid of all of his Mayavadi clothes, put on tilak, kunti mala, and dressed like a Vaishnava. And then, when the Vaishnavas saw him later on, they were overwhelmed, and they offered him obeisances. And they said to him, and now we come to our second verse that we learned yesterday, and I hope you're all practicing your verses on at least five people, and practicing memorizing it as you do your different duties during the day. So, Bhaktistu Bhagavata Bhakta Sangena Parijayate Satsanga Prapyate Punbi Sukritai Purvasanchitai. The Vaishnavas told Vaishnavadas, now his name is Vaishnavadas, no longer Sannyasi Thakur, that bhakti is awakened when one associates with pure devotees, and that association is attained after many millions and billions of lives of performing spiritual pious activities. So because of our past pious activities of many millions of births, now we have your association. So Vaishnavadas felt that this respect that he was receiving from the Vaishnavas was an obstacle. He became like that. He dressed like a Vaishnava and took the activities of a Vaishnava in order to advance, but now he finds that it's an impediment. So what did he do? He went and fell down at the lotus feet of his Gurudev, Paramahamsa Das Babaji, and took shelter of him. Now all the Vaishnavas are there, and there was one fortunate gentleman named Kalidas Lahiri. And why he was fortunate will be explained later, because it's not easy to understand in the beginning why he was fortunate. Because as he was seeing this humble relationship between the Vaishnavas, his mind became agitated, and he very arrogantly said that the Manu Samhita and other scriptures ordain that the Brahmana is the highest caste. And his chanting of Sandavandana, his various Brahminical mantras, are the Nitya Dharma, the highest activity of that highest class of Brahmanas. So why is it that you Vaishnavas Why do you oppose such activities? Of course, we find out later that Vaishnavas don't oppose those activities, but in his mind, the Vaishnavas oppose the activities. So the Vaishnavas requested Premdas Babaji to explain the answer, and he requested Vaishnavadas to explain. Now, by this time, Vaishnavadas had gone from being a Mayavadi sannyasi to a beginner in bhakti. Very soon, in the first chapter, he realized ruchi in the Harinam. In the second chapter, he realized bhava bhakti, bhava in chanting the Harinam. And now in this third chapter, when Premdas Babaji Maharaj is glorifying him, he told this fortunate person that now Vaishnavdas has realized profound love. So he was already now, at least that's my understanding of our translation, he had reached the stage of prema, profound love, in chanting of Harinam. So this fortunate but presently arrogant brahmana asked this question, and in essence, Vaishnavadas explained, after having taken the dust of the lotus feet of his Gurudev and putting that dust all over his body and glorifying and worshipping and praying for the mercy of his Gurudev, he began to reply to this Brahmin, and in essence, his reply was, actually the Brahmins are the highest caste, but that's the highest caste in the Vaishnava, not Vaishnava, but Varna Ashram Dharma, the arrangement, the Lord's arrangement of the four Varnas and the four Ashramas for peaceful, progressive society, so that society could advance beyond animal life and gradually realize spiritual life by having the association in this very wonderful arrangement of Varnashram, by having the wonderful arrangement of being able to associate with pure devotees and respect them. But actually, the Brahminical caste is a material caste, and his activity of Sandhya Vandana is actually not Nitya Dharma at all. Real Nitya Dharma, real Nitya Karma is one, and that is Prem Dharma, Pada Dharma, Vaishnav Dharma, and Krishna Prem. But this Nitya Dharma is only used in a very loose sense, Nitya Karma, in relation to the Brahminical chanting of their Sandhya Vandana mantras, because it's only described as Nitya because it's daily, not because it's the eternal function of the soul. Their activities are mixed with karma, though it's Shubha Karma, it's pious, and it's Vedic, but its motive is to reach heavenly planets or impersonal liberation. And although they chant Vishnu mantras, or sometimes even Radha Krishna mantras, Radha Krishna or Vishnu are subordinate to karma. Therefore, it's under the category of contaminated Vaishnava Dharma. Vaishnava Dharma can never be contaminated, but the contaminated version or so-called Vaishnava Dharma is mixed with karma and mixed with jnana, the desire for material profit and the desire for impersonal liberation. So their activities, although in some relation to Vaishnava Dharma, is not. It's temporary activities, and they're proud that, oh, I'm a Brahmin, I'm better than anybody. Everybody's inferior to me. Also, in their next life, because of their pride and because of they're not engaged in Krishna consciousness, even stepping on an ant, they'll get karmic reactions, and they'll have to suffer for all of their intentional or unintentional sinful activities and offenses, so in their next life they may be an animal, or even if they're a sudra, even if they're a human being, they won't be doing their sandhya-vandanas anymore. And therefore, it's not eternal, it's occasional. It's really under the category of naimittic dharma, not nitya dharma. Also, another reason that it's naimittic is because it has a nimitta, which means a cause, a material cause. And that cause is material profit, the desire to enjoy material profit. Even those who desire impersonal liberation, their cause is also material because they're bound by matter and they want to be free from matter. They don't have any desire to serve. They just want to be free from suffering. So therefore, their activities of sandhya-vandana are naimittic karma, not nitya dharma, not Vaishnava dharma, not prema dharma, not para dharma or transcendental dharma. So we didn't get to the end part yesterday. The end part is really sensational, because after Vaishnava Das explained all these wonderful truths and then began to glorify who is a Vaishnava, the Vaishnavas are, they also have rules and regulations, Vedic rules and regulations, but they only accept those Vedic rules and regulations which are favorable to their bhakti, and they reject all rules and regulations which are unfavorable to their bhakti. They'll only perform the Shraddha ceremony, which is a brahminical activity, which is an occasional naimittic karma, which is occasional, only if they have an opportunity to preach to the people who are there and in the Shraddha ceremony that, well, you know, everybody has to die and we're not this body and we're all part and parcel of Krishna, and the only way to get out of suffering of birth and death is to worship Krishna. So they accept, the Vaishnavas accept everything favorable for bhakti and reject all activities and even Vedic activities that are unfavorable, that is, mundane Vedic activities that are unfavorable. So, the Vaishnava, he concluded, is the best friend of all the jivas, because only he can get the jivas out of the cycle of birth and death. And all the Vaishnavas present were, by then, moved to tears. They were all weeping. And they all glorified him by saying, "Well done, well done. You have spoken so beautifully. All glories to you." And even this mundane brahmana, who fortunately he had come in contact with Harinam Sankirtan, being frustrated with his attempts to enjoy his brahminical life of being a big scholar and associating with Islamic royalty and knowing different languages. So then he got involved with being a big Sankirtan leader, being a big Kirtaniya, not really doing Kirtan, but just singing the holy names for the purpose of getting glorification. And now, after hearing from Vaishnava Das, he said, "Oh, I'm not a Vaishnava. I was getting inclined towards becoming a Vaishnava by chanting Harinam Sankirtan. But now that I've heard from Vaishnava Das, now I'm so totally touched and I want to be a Vaishnava. Please give me your mercy." So then Prem Das Babaji Maharaj blessed him by saying that from time to time you should come and associate with Vaishnava Das. He's a great scholar. He's a born Brahmin. He left his being Paramahamsa in the Mayavadi school and he took shelter of pure devotees, and now he has developed profound love for the chanting of Nam. So you can take shelter of him. So this Brahmana, whose name was Kalidas Lahiri. He was so happy, and from then, in his heart, he accepted Vaishnava Das as his own Gurudev, and fell down at his lotus feet, and touched the dust of his lotus feet. And then, it was time now for everybody to go home. It was reaching evening time, so everybody went back to their homes, and this Lahiri Mahasaya, he was renting a room in an ashram, and the owner of that ashram was Madhava Das Babaji, and it was a very beautiful grove. There were walls made of natural walls made of vines full of Madhavi flowers, and there were wonderful trees and creepers, and the whole place was full of betel plants. So everything was very nice in the mode of goodness, and he took rest that night. But then somehow he woke up in the middle of the night. His sleep was broken because he began thinking, and he began thinking of the wonderful teachings that he heard from Vaishnava Das. And since he was awake, he heard a sound outside. So hearing this sound, he went outside to see what was happening. And he saw that the owner, that is Madhava Das Babaji, was talking with a woman in the courtyard. And as soon as that woman saw Lahiri Mahasaya, she immediately disappeared in a flash. And Madhava Das just stood there motionless, very embarrassed. And Lahiri Mahasaya asked him, "What's the matter, Babaji?" And he said, "Oh, I'm so unfortunate. I used to be such a good devotee." He was a previously a spotless character. But he's lamenting that now, although my past was so good, and my Gurudev, Prem Das Babaji, had so much faith in me, and he used to instruct me so beautifully, now he has no more faith in me because my whole life is degraded from association with this woman. So Lahiri Mahasaya asked, "Please explain more clearly so I can understand what you're talking about." So he said, "Well, this woman was my wife previously when I was a householder. And then I renounced household life and I moved to Godrum, and I found out later, she left the household and moved to Shantipur and built a hut there. And one day I went to Shantipur and I saw her there, and I said, 'Why did you leave household life?' So she said to me, 'Well, household life is really meaningless now that I don't have you, my dear Prabhu. I don't have your lotus feet to serve.' So I didn't say anything else to her. I just left and went back to Godrum Dweep, only to find out that she moved even closer. And she was also living in Godrum Dweep at the house of a cowherdsman. So every day, although it wasn't my intention, every day I would see her here and there. And then, making it even worse, she started coming to see me at night, in the dead of night. And she totally ruined me. And now I have a bad reputation throughout the whole Vaishnava community. So although the Vaishnavas are very merciful and they don't chastise me, but they never give me any instructions because they have no faith in me anymore." So Gurudev said in that connection that if a sannyasi falls down and becomes a householder, he shouldn't think that it's all right. It's okay, now I became a householder, I'm still doing bhakti, it's okay. Gurudev said he shouldn't think it's okay, because otherwise why did Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, all of our acharyas, Why did they take sannyas and maintain sannyas and make hundreds of sannyasis? Why did Mahaprabhu not leave his sannyas? Or Ishwarapuri, or all of them, all of the sannyasis in our line. So on one hand, he shouldn't think that it's all right. But on the other hand, if he hasn't left his Gurudev, and he's actually still practicing bhakti, chanting and engaging the other limbs of bhakti, and still wants to associate with his Gurudev, and still hears from his Gurudev, then, as long as he's speaking bona fide philosophy and not any bogus philosophy, then one should not criticize him. One should not criticize anybody anyway, even if one is wretched and fallen and demoniac, because if we criticize anybody, we get the fault of the person that we're criticizing, whether they have the fault or not. But especially if somebody, even if he fell down, if he's trying to be sincere, and his Gurudev is trying to give him a chance, then one shouldn't criticize him. And if one likes, one can hear from him. But one should not criticize anyone else if someone else doesn't want to hear from him. So both the person who doesn't want to hear from him and the person who does want to hear from him shouldn't criticize each other. They should accept that Guru is giving a chance. And so it's up to the individual other devotees whether to hear or not, but there's no harm in hearing. Still, that person can be considered a sadhu if he's still trying to follow his Gurudev and Gurudev accepts him. So this Madhav Das Babaji, he was humble in the sense that he was thinking that he was so wretched, but he couldn't pull himself out of it. So, Lahiri Mahasaya didn't want to be critical of him, but at the same time, and he wasn't critical, but he, at the same time, didn't want to remain living with him, because then other Vaishnavas may associate him thinking that he's also not of good character, and thus they wouldn't give him further instructions. So he decided immediately to leave that place. So the next morning he came to his new Gurudev. He hasn't been initiated yet, but he's accepted him in his heart as guru. And he came to Vaishnava Das and Prem Das Babaji and begged that he could have a little corner of their grove. So Prem Das Babaji said, yes, you can stay right there on this side of the grove. And then, with great pleasure, Lahiri Mahasaya moved in, and now he was able to regularly hear and inquire from his Gurudev. So that ended chapter 3, and now we're beginning chapter 4. Now, Lahiri Mahasaya's kutir is adjacent to that of Vaishnavdas. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The previous place of Lahiri Mahasaya did not have the betel plants all over it, but this place did. And it was also full of mango trees and very nice jasmine trees and flowers. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur is setting the scene. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is setting the scene for the beautiful environment, transcendental environment of all the Vaishnavas. He's introducing us to the beautiful behavior. The exchange of behavior is just totally marvelous and completely exemplary for us, aspiring Vaishnavas. And he also gives us the opportunity to hear questions that we couldn't even imagine in many lifetimes asking. Gurudev explained that the question asked by these personalities we couldn't imagine asking. So the questions are asked and perfect answers are given. So in the courtyard, outside of the kutir, there is a circular platform a raised circular platform, and this had been standing there for years, ever since the time of Pradyumna Brahmachari. So I think I'm right to say, but somebody should correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll get it confirmed by Gurudev, that when it says, for years since the time of Pradyumna Brahmachari, it seems that now some time has gone by, and Pradyumna Brahmachari might no longer be in his manifest pastimes in this world. So now the Vaishnavas have named this courtyard with a raised circular platform Surabhi Terrace. And they would all circumambulate this place and offer their obeisances. So now it's approaching dusk, it's approaching evening time, turning into dusk, and Vaishnava Das is sitting in his cottage on a mat made of leaves, just like his Gurudev, and absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. And gradually, it's approaching nighttime, and Lahiri Mahasaya is in his own cottage, and there's a flickering lamp. That is a lamp, not an electric lamp. Gurudev said they didn't use dry, boring electric lamps, but a flame lamp. And this lamp was flickering, that it was almost out, or just not working properly. So in the light of the flickering lamp, Lahiri Mahasaya saw what appeared to him to be a snake at the doorway. And he immediately became afraid. Oh my God, a snake! And he took a stick to beat the snake, but the snake had already disappeared. So he immediately went to the room of Vaishnava Das and said, "Oh Vaishnava Das, oh Gurudev, be careful. There may be a snake that just came into your room." So Vaishnava Das said, "Don't be disturbed by these things. Just come into my room and sit down with me, and let's chant Hare Krishna together." So they sat down, and they were chanting, but Lahiri Mahasaya was still feeling some anxiety. And so he said to Vaishnava Das, "You know, in Shantipur, they don't have all these dangerous snakes and scorpions. Everything's safe there, but in Nadia, boy, it's so dangerous." So Vaishnava Das said, "You know, you shouldn't think about these things. Look at Parikit Maharaj. See our example of fearlessness. He was cursed to die in 7 days by a snake bird bite. But he was fearless. He sat down and drank the nectar of the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam from his Gurudev, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And he wasn't like distracted. Okay, I can't concentrate right now on my Gurudev's class because, God, when is this snake going to come? Is it really going to come? Oh my God, I hope it doesn't come." But no, he didn't think about it at all. He was completely fearless and absorbed in bliss. And then Vaishnava Das said, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is calling him Vaishnava Das Babaji. And sometimes he's just calling him Babaji. So Vaishnava Das Babaji said, "You know, the soul can never be bitten by the snake. The soul can only be bitten by one kind of snake, and that is the snake of separation from Krishna. As far as the body goes, the body's bound to die one day anyway. It's going to collapse one day by the will of Krishna. And no matter what you do to try to save it, you're not going to be able to save it. It's going to die at the designated time, and before that designated time comes, even if you're sleeping right next to a snake, it's not going to come and bite you. So now, in those days, or with those personalities, whenever the Guru would say something, the disciple who's actually surrendered to the Gurudev, the Guru's words would not only be of interest, like if I was hearing Prabhupada or Gurudev say this to me, what Vaishnava Das said to Lahiri Mahasaya, I would say, oh, that's very interesting about the soul. But when Lahiri Mahasaya heard it, it actually entered in his heart. And he said, your words, what words? Vaishnava Das Babaji said to him, without fearlessness, you can't have a fixed mind on Krishna. And without fearlessness, no one can be actually a Vaishnava, therefore. So don't kill any snakes out of fear. So Lahiri Mahasaya said, your words have freed my heart from fear. Now I can understand that to have an elevated heart yields the highest benefit to the jivas. And actually it's true what you say, because in the caves of the mountains, there's so many sages practicing their bhajan, and they have no fear of snakes or wild animals, foxes. Rather, they feared the bad association of materialistic men. Just like our Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he preferred to reside in a latrine because he preferred the foul smell of the latrine to the foul smell of materialistic association. So then Vaishnava Das Babaji said, oh Babaji Mahasaya, what you should do is, now you should just absorb yourself in chanting Harinam. Bhakti Devi will then enter your heart, and automatically your heart will become elevated. Vaishnavas are dear to all jivas, both devotees and non-devotees. They all love Vaishnavas because Vaishnavas love everybody. They're not envious of anybody. Therefore, all human beings must become Vaishnavas. So then Lahiri Mahasaya said, O Gurudev, you awoke faith in my heart in Nitya Dharma. Now, can you please tell me how Nitya Dharma is the same as Vaishnava Dharma? Is it? Is it exactly the same? If so, how? So we can see how fast this previously arrogant Brahmana, how fast he advanced in Krishna consciousness. This is real Krishna consciousness. We can see how merciful our Gurudevs are, especially coming to the Western worlds with all the mlechas and yavanas and meat-eaters, and we couldn't understand anything. And still, what he says, at least for me, doesn't enter my heart. And still he keeps speaking. So much patience and tolerance and love. So Vaishnava Babaji said, there's two dharmas that are in the name of Vaishnava Dharma. One is Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma, and the other is adulterated. Shuddha means pure Vaishnava Dharma, and the other is adulterated Vaishnava Dharma, which is really not Vaishnava Dharma, but an adulterated version of Vaishnava Dharma. Regarding pure Vaishnava Dharma is one, to love Krishna, Krishna Prem, but it assumes four different features. One is Dasyaras, or servant, the mood of servant of Krishna. One is Sakyaras, or the mood of friendship towards Krishna. One is Vatsalyaras, or the mood of parental love towards Krishna. And one is Madhurya love, or the mood of a conjugal lover towards Krishna. And within that, Manjari Bhav, or maid servant to Srimati Radhika. Now, there are different names. Although Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava Dharma is one without a second, it has many names. Just like Vaishnava Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma, Pada Dharma, Nitya Dharma, Prem Dharma. And anyone who is situated in this Prem Dharma, because his only object is Krishna, the only thing he knows is Krishna, and he doesn't know anyone else or anything else but Krishna. What is his situation? Yasmin Bhagyantam Sarvamevam Bhagyantam Bhavati. This is one of our verses today. That is, one who knows Krishna knows everything, and there's nothing further for him to be known. Our Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy that if one knows milk, then automatically he knows all the milk products. He knows butter, yogurt, curd, ice cream. And, or he said, one who knows nine numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, he automatically knows all nine numbers in the millions and trillions and billions. So one who knows Krishna, he knows everything. Yasmin bhagyantam sarvamevam or sarvamidam bhagyantam bhavati. So many people will be getting the benefit of your association because they will be hearing from you these wonderful verses, and that will help you memorize them. Now, there's four kinds, as mentioned, Vaishnava Das Babaji is mentioning, there's four kinds of pure Vaishnava Dharma, the four rasas, and there's two kinds of adulterated, or so-called Vaishnava Dharma. One is mixed with karma, and one is mixed with jnana. Jnana meaning knowledge, speculative knowledge acquired for the purpose of realizing and becoming impersonal Brahman. Their goal is Nirvishesh Brahma. So the smarter Brahmins, which is like the Brahmins who are being referred to by Lahiri Mahasaya, in his previous ashram when he was arrogant and doing their Sandhya Vandana, Vaishnava Das Babaji is saying that they may get initiated, these smart Brahmins may get initiated into some Vaishnava mantra, but Vishnu is not their goal. Vishnu is actually just an unimportant part of karma. For them, karma is God. Vishnu is the Lord of Lords. But here, with these smarter brahmanas, he becomes subservient, in their minds, to the law of karma. Actually, karma is subservient to Krishna. There's one verse in the Brahma Samhita that states that one who is engaged in Krishna bhajan, Krishna takes away all of his karma. Nirdahati kintu... I forgot it just now, sorry. Yeah, sorry, it slips my mind. But the English is that one who engages in pure Hari Bhajan, Krishna takes away all of his karma. So karmas, the laws of karma are subordinate to Vishnu, but actually these foolish smart brahmanas think that karmas is the supreme and Vishnu is subordinate. And they follow Mimamsa philosophy. Karma, Mimamsa. They do worship, they do bhajan, they do sadhan, but they think that these are all parts of karma. And they may worship in the process called Panchopasana. That is, they have five so-called worshipable deities. Vishnu is one of them. Vishnu in his any form that you like of Vishnu. And Shiva, Shakti, that is Durga, Ganesh, and Surya, the sun god. But their ultimate goal is Nirvishesh Brahma, And they want to merge into Nirvishesh Brahma. So either they want material benefits, good karma, by worshipping Vishnu, Shubha karma, or they're impersonalists. And both these philosophies are actually, according to Vaishnava Das Babaji, and as we can see, it's both these philosophies are widespread due to the influence of Kali Yuga. They're both very widespread all over India. And both of these classes are disrespectful to real Vaishnavas. And if they see a pure Vaishnava, they don't understand what pure Vaishnava is. So then Vaishnava Das Babaji quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says there's two tendencies in realizing the absolute truth. I don't know why I said two tendencies. It's not true. I misread my notes. There's actually three aspects of the absolute truth which are realized by different persons according to their eligibility. And one is Brahma, the impersonal Nirvishesh Brahma. And they might worship according to the Panchopasana system. And then there's those who want to realize Paramatma, the super soul in the heart, but they still have some impersonal idea. So they might engage in karma yoga, they might engage in astanga yoga, they also might be engaged in being initiated into Vishnu mantras, and they may even worship Vishnu. But their aim is not to serve the Paramatma. Their aim is to merge. Now, the third kind of realization, and the supreme, is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person. These jivas, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, are the most fortunate. Their goal is service to the personal form of the Lord. They have full faith that the Lord has a form. He has all wonderful qualities. He's all merciful. He's all beautiful. And their worship is not part of karma, but their worship is the constitution of Shuddha Bhakti. That is, their only desire is to please the Lord. So now comes our verse regarding these three kinds of realization of the absolute truth. Vedanti tat tatvavidas tatvam. Okay, can you repeat after me? Vedanti tat tatvavidas tatvam. Vedanti tat tatvavidas tatvam. Yaj jnanam avyayam. Yaj jnanam advayam. Prameti paramatmeti. Prameti paramatmeti. Bhagavan iti shabhyate. Bhagavan iti shabhyate. So now we'll say the whole verse together. Vedanti tat tatvavidas tatvam. Yaj jnanam advayam. Prameti paramatmeti. Bhagavan iti shabhyate. Those who know the absolute reality describe that ultimate non-dual substance as the supreme truth. Some know that same Advaita Gyan Tattva, that is the one without a second absolute truth, and to explain Advaita Gyan Tattva is another class in and of itself. So that some people see the Advaita Gyan Tattva as Brahma, as Paramatma, and others as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our Srila Prabhupada gives a very simple example of a hill. The hill, when seen from very far away, looks like a cloud. When you get close to it, so that's compared with impersonal Brahman realization. Then when you get closer to it, it looks like a green lump, and that's compared with Paramatma realization. And then when you actually go on the hill, you'll see that there's so many trees and fruits and flowers and bumblebees and butterflies and grasses, and that's compared to realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now we have that those two verses. That is, yad bhigyantam sarvamidam bhigyantam bhavati. Sometimes it's stated, yasmin bhigyante sarvamidam bhigyantam bhavati. And now this one, vedanti tatat phulidas. So according to the Vaishnava Das Babaji, we already, in brief, told about the first two realizations and the process of realization to get to that realization. And then he's explaining that regarding Bhagavad Tattva, or the realization of the truth that the Supreme Lord is a person, this is the supreme philosophy. The Supreme Lord is the he's the supreme truth in full. He's the basis of the Brahma Jyoti and also Paramatma. And one who serves him, his consciousness is pure. This is the pure consciousness of the jiva. And that is called Shuddha Bhakti, or pure bhakti. Then Vaishnava Das Babaji says, this devotion to Hari, again he gives the list of other names, is Nitya Dharma, pure Vaishnava Dharma, Jaiva Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma, Paramartik, which means transcendental Dharma, and Paradharma, which means supreme Dharma. So the worship of Brahma and Paramatma, this is not Nitya. As explained earlier, this is Nainatik Dharma, because there's a Ninita, or a cause. The cause is either desire to extinguish material qualities and just merge into the impersonal Brahman, like a person who's sick, and the doctor, the sick person, and he can't have any milk products because he has like flu, and the doctor comes and says, here, oh, you'll be alright soon, just take this medicine, and then you'll be fine, and then you'll be able to take curd and butter and yogurt, but he knows in his disease state that if I take those things, I'll get more sick. So he says to the doctor, doctor, actually, it's better if you just kill me. Because he can't imagine a healthy life with variety that's not miserable. So because the worship of those who worship Brahma and Paramatma is material, the cause is material, therefore their dharma is not Nitya, although it's in a flattering way called Nitya Dharma, only in the sense that it's daily duties. Then, hearing all this wonderful philosophy, the Hiri Mahasaya says to his Gurudev, O Gurudev, please instruct me, because now he's understood all this, actually it entered his heart. O Gurudev, please instruct me on pure Vaishnava Dharma. In this old age of mine, I'm taking shelter of you. Please accept me as yours. And then he said that if somebody has an unbonafide guru, and realizing this, he should reject that unbonafide guru and immediately find a bonafide guru and again take initiation. So his own conclusion is, so now please instruct me on Vaishnava Dharma, and also please give me initiation. So Vaishnava Das Babaji says, well, I'll instruct you on Vaishnava Dharma, but I can't give you initiation because I'm not a fit candidate for that. He's very humble, just like Ganga Mata Thakurani. Lord Jagannath appeared to the king and said that you should take initiation from Ganga Mata Thakurani, and so should all of your ministers, all your dynasty. Otherwise, I'll destroy you for your offense to her. So he told them to take initiation, and immediately the king went and apologized and begged for initiation. So she said, I can't give initiation. I'm not going to give initiation. I'm not taking any disciples. So the king kept begging, and she kept saying no. But then, in her own dream, her own spurti, Jagannath appeared to her and ordered her to accept them as her disciples, and so she did. So real guru, he gives initiation because he's experiencing the Lord in his heart, and the Lord tells him to do so. So now he's instructing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there are three principles of Vaishnava Dharma, and there are only three principles. And all the Vedas are only teaching three principles, and there's nothing else that's being taught. And the three principles are Sambandha, Abhideya, and Priyojana. Sambandha means, what is our relationship with the Lord? Abhideya means, what is the activities that will help us to realize that relationship? And Priyojana is the realization of the ultimate goal of that relationship, which is love of God. So, one who is actually following pure bhakti, he knows these three principles of bhakti, and he follows the principles of all three. In Sambandha, one should know three things. He should know what is Maya, what is Jiva, what is the Supreme Lord, and what is the relationship between the three. He should know regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the Lord is one without a second. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's full of all opulences and at the same time all sweetness. He's the only shelter for the jiva and the only shelter of Maya as well. At the same time, he's aloof. He's not affected by the fruit of activities or comings and goings of the material world. And the impersonal or nirvishesh Brahma is nothing but the effulgence of the Lord's bodily limbs. By his divine potency called Tattvastha Shakti, he manifests the innumerable jivas. In Vaikuntha, he's known as Lord Narayan, where he's full of opulence and majesty. And in Goloka Vrindavan, which is beyond Vaikuntha, way, way beyond Vaikuntha, he's known as Gopijana Balabha, or Sri Krishna Chandra. And there he's full of sweetness. There's more opulence in Goloka Vrindavan than there is in Vaikuntha, but there's so much sweetness that the opulence isn't tasted. And he has many, many forms. He has pastime incarnations. He has manifestations. He has yuga avatars. He has purusha avatars. He has guna avatars. So many different kinds of avatars. Shaktiyavesha avatars. And all of his forms are manifested by his para shakti, his supreme transcendental energy. And this Parashakti, who is, as you know, Srimati Radhika herself, this Parashakti has three functions. She manifests innumerable energies, but they can be divided into three. The internal potency, which arranges all the pastimes of the Lord. The marginal potency, which manifests the innumerable jivas, and the Bahiranga Shakti, or the material energy, which manifests material time and activities, and all the unsubstantial things of the material world. Everything in the material world is unsubstantial, or insubstantial, or inconsequential, and they only become substantial in their service to Krishna. Money is maya. Money is useless. Money is yet less than useless because it sends one to hell. Money is the cause of all miseries, and everything that money can buy is also the cause of miseries. But when that money is used in the Lord's service, then that money becomes Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Lakshmi is always steadily serving Lord Narayan, but in the material world, she's very unsteady. She's called Chanchala, and she's illusory. So, Vaishnava Das Babaji is continuing. In Sambandha Tattva, one realizes God's relationship, the Lord's relationship with the jiva, his relationship with matter, the jiva's relationship with him, and the jiva's relationship with matter. And when one understands these things completely, then he's fixed in Sambandha Gyan. Without Sambandha Gyan, Vaishnava Das Babaji Maharaj is saying, no one can be a Vaishnava without, by any means, in any way, no one can call himself a Vaishnava unless he has this Sambandha Gyan. Therefore, this Jagadharma is so important. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Manushiksha, Shikshastikam, the Goswami's grunts are so important. Now, for some time, the discussion between Vaishnava Das Babaji and Lahiri Mahasaya are going to be in relation to the formlessness of the Lord versus the form of the Lord. Lahiri Mahasaya is telling his Gurudev, I have heard the Vaishnavas say that no one could be a real Vaishnava unless he's in Bhav. So therefore there's no need of knowledge. Is this true? In fact, I tried this myself, listening to these particular Vaishnavas that I was associating with. I tried singing with so much emotion, and I didn't make any attempt at knowledge. So, what is the actual situation? So as Gurudev, Vaishnava Das Babaji said, the highest Vaishnava is always absorbed in Bhav. That's true. The beginning Vaishnava, the beginning of pure Vaishnavism, is that kind of Bhava Bhakti, which is the sprout of Krishna Prema, and which is the basis of transcendental emotions. However, if one has the idea to merge, and he's a Brahmavadi, or rather a Mayavadi, then his so-called bhavs, emotions, are bogus. They're all false and they're all imitation. Even if one has one tiny atomic drop of pure Shuddha Bhav, which is the real ray, first ray of the sun of Prema Bhakti, then this one drop of pure Bhav can fulfill the highest aspiration of the jivas. But when the jiva is aimed at Nirvishesh Brahma, then his so-called emotions present the greatest calamity for him. Therefore, Sambandha Gyan is essential. Then his disciple said, O Gurudev, you've given me so much faith in Vaishnava Dharma. But I have a question. If the Supreme Lord is the origin of the impersonal Brahma, then why don't the Jnanis, the impersonalists, give up this impersonal speculative knowledge and worship the Lord? So Vaishnava Das Babaji said, actually, they do. Those who are sincere, they do. Just like the four Kumaras, Sukadeva Goswami, Narad Muni, not Narad, Lord Brahma, they all engage in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Lahiri Mahasaya asked, but, you know, it seems to me that I can see that the Lord's form has a beginning and an end. It has a shape. It has one end and then it has the other end. So how can it be said in the Shastra that the unlimited Brahma Jyoti is resting on Him? As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanobhi-pratistha-aham. I am the basis, my very limbs, the effulgence of my limbs is the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. I am the basis of that impersonal Brahma Jyoti, which is the which itself is unlimited, without any beginning and end, which is eternal, and which is the source of unlimited happiness. So, how could it be true since Krishna's form or God's form has a beginning? It seems to have a beginning and an end because it has a shape. So Vaishnava Das Babaji gave a resolution to this predicament. He said, well, the sky is unlimited, so why do you say that Nirvishesh Brahma is so important just because it's unlimited? On one hand, you say it's unlimited, but then it doesn't have any qualities. So it really doesn't even have any substance. It's unlimited, and the jivas who are very serious about impersonal liberation go there and forever lose themselves. Therefore, it's so dangerous to associate with Mayavadis. One could be destroyed forever. So he said, why do you consider that Brahma is so impersonal? Brahma is so important because the sky is unlimited and the sky is not such a big deal. So he said, God is unlimited. Even though he has a form, that form is unlimited. Adwaitamachutamanariranantarupam adhyangapuranapurusham nabajobanamcha. Lord Brahma says that the Supreme Lord Govinda, Adwaitam, he's one without a second. Achyuta, he's infallible. Anadir, he has no beginning, but he's the beginning of everything. And Anantarupam, even though his form is unlimited, he has unlimited forms. Just imagine, if he has a form and the form is unlimited, it already takes up unlimited space. So where's the room for a second form? And yet he has unlimited forms, and each form is unlimited. Isn't that amazing? And yet, even though he's the oldest and without any beginning and unlimited, still, he's a tricky teenager and flirts all the time and can be overwhelmed and faint and forget everything. So, as Prabhupada said, if God does not have some inconceivable things, how can he be God? So God's form, it is the source of that unlimited Brahman. We can imagine how transcendental and unlimited that is. Then Vaishnava Das Babaji said, why would anybody be attracted to the obscure, all-pervading Brahman without potencies? No potency. Like, potency means power or strength. Now I'd like to ask all of you in the audience, just imagine yourself with less power than you have now. What is that called? weakness or disease. Now just imagine if you have no potency. You couldn't even move. What's so great about that? And in fact, as Srila Gurudev says, without Krishna's Ladini or Parashakti, Srimati Radhika, Krishna would be Nirvishesh Brahma. So, Vaishnava Das Babaji states that impersonalism does exist in God, it's true, and personalism, they both exist simultaneously in God. And the impersonal Brahman is simply one of his aspects. Now, I think many of you who are listening to this phone class are on the Hare Katha mailing list. So you know that about 1 week ago, we sent out to all of you Srila Gurudev's radio show, which he spoke in Houston on a very popular Houston radio show. And there, he spoke for many, many minutes, quoting so many shastras, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, how the personal form of the Lord is the actual form, and how impersonal Brahman is subordinate to him. Then Vaishnava Das said, Vaishnavas have no faith in worship of impersonal Brahma. Because impersonal Brahma worship is opposed to the principle of eternal love for Krishna. Therefore, Vaishnavas have no faith. Then Lahiri Mahasaya said, So Hari Bol?
No, you need something good.
Are you sure?
Yes, if someone answers for
me. Okay. Now, we could go on for another 20 minutes with this chapter, because there's so much that he's saying. Or we can resume tomorrow. What would you like?
I think we can do it today, if you're okay.
I'm okay if the rest of the devotees are okay.
I guess everyone is on mute.
Because they all have their daily schedules, and it's already a 10:15.
We're going to be posting the lectures on the web in any case in like about a week's time, so if someone has to go, that's fine. You can catch up later in about a week's time then.
Okay. Okay, so Lahiri Mahasaya then asked, how is Krishna eternal if we hear that he has a birth in the womb of Mother Yasoda, and he has activities, and then he leaves his body, we hear. So Vaishnava Das Babaji said, his form is Satchidananda, eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. There is no connection with matter, and he never really leaves his body like a materialist does. His form just disappears from the vision of the mundane world at a certain point. And then Lahiri Mahasaya asked, well, why are there descriptions about Krishna's birth and activity in Mahabharata and other books? So Vaishnava Das says, the Lord's activities are beyond words. But even if a pure Vaishnava is describing the Lord's activities, and even though he doesn't have any mundane conception of it, as soon as he uses words, the words mix with the matter of the material world, and any conditioned soul who's hearing him won't really understand what he's hearing. He's hearing with his material mind and his material intelligence. Therefore, he's bound to put his own associations, his own material experiences on Krishna's activities. Prabhupada said that Krishna lifted Govardhan. So the materialists hear that and they say, it's impossible for anybody who's so small to lift a mountain. Therefore, if Krishna is going to be God, if there's a God, then he must be impersonal, because then he'll be big. Krishna's too small. So we apply our material circumstances. Just like we hear that Radha and Krishna are holding hands and walking in Vrindavan, and then we think, oh, I know what that's like. I used to have a boyfriend. We used to hold hands. Yeah, I can relate to that. Actually, we're having no idea of what Radha and Krishna's pastimes are like. And then Lahiri Mahasaya said, so, now meditating on Krishna, Haribol, meditating on Krishna, one has a conception that he's limited in time and space. I can understand that he's not limited. But what I'd like to know is, how can we transcend our conception that he's limited in time and space? In other words, how can we realize, how can we get out of our material mind and realize the truth of the Supreme Lord? So now my microphone keeps going on the blink, and I think I'm going to have to get another mic today. So I think we need to end here. And it is already almost 20 after 10. So I'll take a couple of questions, and then we can resume this chapter tomorrow.
Also, a lot of devotees, they're using Skype, so it's like one way they probably cannot speak to you. I did forward you a couple of emails today morning.
I didn't get them, but I'll look today.
Okay. Any questions you can call one you?
Yes, who's this?
It seems that there's a lot of stress here, at least in the early part on some Bandha Jana.
Yes.
There may be a establishing a foundation for more advancement spiritually.
I can't hear you. Well, I'm going to pick up the phone. Hold on. Hello? Yes? Can you repeat the question? Question?